invite you to the lectern.
So time flies. Last time I came to your church to speak in February, maybe some of you still have a kind of a little bit memory. And this weekend, I come here again and try to share God's word with you. And this passage that we just read, I think most of Christians will read it during the Palm Sunday. Do you remember that? Before the Easter, right? Before the Good Friday. And this passage explicitly say Jesus and the disciples, they walk close to Jerusalem, to a place is at the Mount of Olives. If you don't have a chance to go to Jerusalem or to go to the place of Mount Olives, you don't know that actually it's not a high mountain or a big mountain. Actually, it's a place quite easy to finish the walk into the Jerusalem. But why Jesus has to ask the disciples to bring the donkey and the cart? Obviously, if you use a contemporary spot, then you know it's quite close to the Jerusalem. And I'm doing something wrong with the echoing. That's good. Thank you. And if you use a recent photo, you will easily see that the Mount of Olives actually is a slope. It's about 2 kilometers. Then from this spot, you can go into Jerusalem. Then you will have a question, why Jesus has to ask the disciples to bring the donkey and then go into the Jerusalem? And the passage itself has the answer. Because right here, you know the disciples has to bring donkey and the master or anyone will answer you. If you have a saying, say, the Lord needs them. And this passage already quotes the book of Isaiah. And you know, because it's a prophecy that your king will come to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a cart, and the real of a beast of burden is from the Old Testament. So, the conversation between the master and the disciples, it looks like there's a wording or there's a phrase. It looks like it's an answer that the master will waiting upon. The Lord needs them. Once anyone try to bring anything from your home, I don't think it's so easy, right? Just like if your home, you have a beautiful shepherd dog, and I come by and see, wow, it's a beautiful shepherd dog. Can I just bring that shepherd dog to my home for a few days? I don't think so, right? If I say, the Lord needs them, and the Lord needs it, will you let me do it? Not so easy. It looks like the master and also the disciples or Jesus, they have some sort of understanding. Maybe a few days ago, Jesus sent a text message, email to that guy and let them know, wow, if anyone come by and try to bring your donkey and your cart, you have to understand the only one, the right one to come whenever or whoever say the Lord needs them. This wording, it looks like quite natural in the Bible. But when it applied to your life, do you think it's easy? If the Lord say to you, the Lord need you, do you think you will have an easy give in and let the Lord use you? The Lord has the sovereign call upon not only to that master, not only in the olden day in this text, but the Lord has a sovereign call upon you and me. In nowadays, we are so emphasized, we have our own last say. We are our own at our own. Do we really so easy to submit to whatever the Bible or the Holy Spirit talk to me? It's not so easy. I share my life story with you from this passage long, long time ago in the 70s when I'm still a young guy. I heard about this message, it's not so easy, until I read this scripture. Because on the same incident from the book of Matthew and from the book of Luke, there's a saying called, no one has ever sat. That is to describe what is a court. And during those period of time, I'm a new believer. I've been a Christian for about 5 years. But gradually, there's something happened in my heart. Whenever I see some pastor, I'm not only respect them, I'm not only talk to them, but in my bottom of my heart, I have some sense of admiration and admire them. I know it's not a common thing, just like you. When you see Pastor Irene or whoever, Pastor Sam, well, of course, you chat with him and talk with him. But probably you won't admire him, right? Especially with the job that they have. Because a pastor's job is not a common job. It's not a job that most people would like to pursue it. Usually we would like to be a medical doctor or engineer or pharmacist, right? But will you consider to be a pastor? I don't think so. So during those period of time, those high school years, I already know maybe the Lord has a sovereign call upon me. Maybe He wants me to consider not going to university, might as well going to seminary. But I have a big fight within myself because, you know, as a young person, we have our own dream. We are not so easily to submit to the sovereign call until a summer camp. Until a summer camp, and that year, our church asked this person to be the summer camp chairperson. And at that year, we have over 200-some people attend that summer camp. And during our olden day, our summer camp is 6 days, 5 nights. Can you imagine? Nowadays, 3 days, 2 nights is hard to get people, right? Because we cannot take day off, we cannot have schedule our holiday. But in our olden day, we have 6 days and 5 nights. And during that summer camp is a big conference because over 200-some people full-time attend in that university dormitory. And we are full of energy and we are not so submissive to the so-called conference rules. So almost every night, I have big headache meetings because we have to resolve so many different complaints, concerns, and whatever arrangement. So tired to be the chairperson. So you need to pray for your coming up summer camp chairperson. Huh? And during those 6 days, 5 nights, I worked so hard for the conference. I think during the sermon time, I should take a nap, right? Because it's so hard to fulfill my job. But it's so interesting. Every sermon, it looks like tailor-made for me. And during the first 5 days, I know, the Lord really hit strong to my heart. So I need to say yes. But I only submit 99%. What is 99%? That means still gung-ho 1%, right? Still gung-ho that, wow, I think it's better to finish my university and maybe have some kind of work experience and then I consider to be a pastor. I still struggle. I still can't hold it 1% until the last sermon time.
So interesting. The speaker spoke on this passage. And he quoted exactly these two passages. Maybe it looks quite common to you. Of course, a colt will be some sort of a donkey, a small donkey that no one has ever sat on him. That's a colt. If it's a donkey, probably will be trained and used by their master to do donkey work. A colt is a donkey. It's a small donkey. No experience. No one ever trained him. But this description hit exactly what I gun-hold, because I gun-hold 1%. It's better to sit by some of my future boss before I work as a full-time pastor. So since that passage appeared during that sermon, I submit myself with the 1%, with the 99%, I totally submit and I change my direction. Not going to the university, but apply for a Bible college to start my 4 years undergrad training. So can you imagine a 22 years old young pastor come out and serve and work? Do you think it's a little bit risky? Even from nowadays, it's a big risky. But on the olden days, well, maybe I'm the last generation without a university degree, but going to the Bible college and start my ministry in my home church. And that is my background. Then, do I say this passage only used on me? No. The sovereign God, the sovereign call, is upon everyone. Different people, they have different life stages, and we have different life purposes. Yes, we have different career. But still, our Lord needs you. Maybe you will still in your career, you will keep your career, but the Lord still needs you. Can you consider to submit yourself also, along with your career, along with your whatever life stage, but be soundful and loud and soundful to understand our Lord has the sovereign call upon us. This is what this scripture is about. And during the scripture, you will know they brought the donkey and the colt. Yes, from the Old Testament, from the book of prophet, it also prophesies the coming king. He is not sitting on a big horse, usually with a victorious victory. Those general, those king, they were sitting on a big horse. But our Lord, he is just sitting on a cot. It's a description how humble, and he is not used a big violence or victory, but he is using his love and kindness to win over us. So this scripture described brought the donkey and the colt, and willing to be tamed along his use. Why the donkey and the colt has to bring to us to the master? If the Lord just sat on, he will just sitting on the colt, the disciples can easily bring the colt, not the donkey and the colt. Have you ever think about this question? Why the disciple has to bring both to the front of Jesus? If his disciples just bring the colt, probably the colt will rebellious or will be kind of fearful. What happened? Why I'm departed with? Usually people think the donkey will be the mom. Don't think about the donkey will be the father. I don't know why. The small one has to be always close with the mom, not only with the dad. But whatever, when you read this scripture, have you ever think the meaning why both have to bring along to Jesus? The main and clear message will be, if the mom or dad don't go along with the cart, probably the cart won't come to the front of Jesus. But when Jesus sat on the cart, It's not a common thing. If both donkey and cart come, usually you will choose the donkey. It's bigger, safer, and also looks better, right? But when Jesus sat on the cart is the one never sat before. Is he or she trained to be sat on? Until Jesus sat on it, it's a journey. Start to tame this cart to finish the job. Willing to be tamed along his use really happened for this cart, because he has to carry Jesus to the Jerusalem city and also face the crowd, the congregation, kind of parade and welcome this coming king. All the way going into the city is a way of risk. If the cart is not cooperate with whoever sit on him, something accident will happen, right? So have you ever think about this incident is almost a miracle. Jesus can sit on a cart and can finish the job. It implies whoever can be available for God to use, not only one time, not only one year, but you have to submit yourself all the way. It looks like you have to be tamed along his use. Of course, we are not animal. We are not tamed. But sometimes we will have our rebellious, we have our own ego, we have our own so-called struggle. But each time you have to submit to whatever God use you. It's a long way to go. And for me, I know, so the last will be first, and the first last. It is a saying in happened in many scripture. Whenever Jesus say something or say something people don't understand, Jesus will explain and then use this passage. Do you remember? So the last will be first, and the first last. It's not a sentence when you line up for a buffet and you talk to someone at the front, the first will be the last, and the last will be the first. Someone will beat you, right? Someone will have a big quarrel with you. This is something like mystery, something to describe in the spiritual journey. There's no guarantee because you have experience, because you have a good record of ministry, that you will last till the last day. No. You have to submit yourself all along the days, all along the years to serve him. Just like in the church, I see so many young people, they have their passion to lead different kind of ministry, children ministry, singing ministry. I always appreciate the young people, they have a heart to sing for the Lord. But I would like to wait and see whether one day when you are turning old, you still have a passion to sing for Jesus. That's not easy. The first will be the last, and the last will be the first. This is a description exactly to explain. We have to be tamed along his use. Otherwise, you will just serve him, hit and run. And then it's done. It always happened in our Christian life. But this passage, almost a miracle. The cart can finish his job, can finish the whole journey. And when I reflect my life ministry, I start to be a Christian in 1972, almost 17 years in my home church, from a believer to be ordained to be their pastor. Finished my Bible college and served in my home church for 9 years. That is my first passage or pilgrimage in my ministry. And then a church from Saskatoon, they cannot find a pastor. And their first pastor actually is my small group member in the olden days. Then he went back to Hong Kong and give me this sovereign call. Are you willing to come to Saskatoon to be our a small church to serve there? At that time, both my wife and myself pray for a month, and then we commit. Okay, since the missionary can go anywhere, Saskatoon, it's okay. Their invitation is 3 years. I went to Saskatoon to be a pastor in Saskatoon. Do you know where is Saskatoon? Somewhere in the middle of Canada, right? It's a good training ground for myself. Yeah, I never see snow. The first day when I landed in October 1st, 1989, snow came as a welcome. It's a good training for me. For the past 28 years, I served in Edmonton, a church called Edmonton Christian Community Church, E3C. Time flies, a blink, then 28 years. And I experienced what is the job for a senior pastor. Sometimes people say, a senior pastor is doing some job that no one wants to do it, then it's your job. Yeah. So I try to be a church planter, launch our Mandarin ministry, try to support the English ministry, try to cultivate our Cantonese ministry, try to make a church with three different dialects, different cultures. And thanks to the Lord, we have multiple times of growth in terms of the building, in terms of different services. And then about 4 years ago, I think is a time for my stepping down. I try to work myself out from my job, because after 26 years, wow, not only I gain all the white hair or loose hair, but all my so-called wisdom, talent, all used up. So I think it's better a time I pass the baton to another guy. So I submit my resignation 4 years ago and let the church know after two years, I will step down. But unfortunately, it hit the pandemic. Recently, a church member treated me with a coffee and he said, "Wow, Pastor Wong, I really admire you." I said, "Why?" "Because you are a prophet. 4 years ago, you know there's a pandemic, so that's why you resign your job. You don't need to have a big headache, face a pandemic church." I said, "If I'm that kind of prophet, wow, I would be great, right? I just know it's time for me to hand over whatever the Lord have given me, but I don't know. Wow, there's a pandemic." So about more than 2 years ago, I stepped down and then considered and prayed what will be my next step. Well, every city, they need pastors. So that's why I have many opportunities. And I almost decide maybe I will come to Vancouver or Toronto. But my older son one day, he called me and said, "Even the vaccine hasn't come out yet." He is a medical professional. He said, "Dad, we better stuck together in one city." That's exactly what he said. So after he so explicit to request we better to stay in one city, I have two sons, then I have a big decision I have to make. Oh, I stay in Edmonton for 28 years. I better to stay in Edmonton maybe for my life. Because both of my two sons, they have their family, they have their career, and they enjoy the life in Edmonton. Even though they travel a lot, but they still think Edmonton is a good place. So I will always make a joke. All the people who don't like Edmonton, they are all gone. So whoever in Edmonton, they probably like Edmonton, right? So after those period of time, I make a big decision. I stay in Edmonton. That means I have to search, or I have to see what will I do after my resignation. Interestingly, I have a new development. I seek a new way how to serve our Lord. Just like this passage, you know, the climax, the peak, probably will be the verse 10. Can you read verse 10 for me? Please read. And when
the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?"
Obvious. The main character, Jesus, the Messiah Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, obvious, this is the climax. Everyone clap and say, "Hosanna, you are our King." This is the climax. But from the supporting role as the donkey, as the cart, you know, the verse 8, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Can you imagine for the life of a cart, for a life of a donkey, will a regular donkey have a chance to walk on the road full of cloves and cloaks? I don't think so, right? When the donkey, when the cart come into the city, probably he will surprise, how come so many people welcome me? How come the road is not a dirt road? It's not a road full of stones, but it's a road full of clocks, full of clothes. It's a decisive moment. The donkey will be surprised, how come so many people welcome me? But obviously, all the welcome is not for this donkey. The welcome is for the one who sat on the donkey. Become a valuable player by his use. Because of Jesus, the cart has a new experience, has a value even above his own value. If you are willing to be used by the Lord, obviously, you have your career, you have your so-called significance in this society. But if you are not only serving this world, you are not only serving your career environment, but you are also a light to be used by the Lord, you will become a valuable player. A valuable player in the sense, not only in the eyes of people, but also in the eyes of the eternity. That is my experience. Because I'm just a no-name pastor willing to serve in Saskatoon. During that time, I think I will be serving in Saskatoon for life. But after 3 years, I know the Lord guide me to Edmonton. And I'm thinking, well, probably I will serve in Edmonton for life. But it's so interesting. A pastor in Edmonton always have some phone call, some email, invite me to preach in whoever city or whatever city they invite me. So for the past 20-some years, I really experienced that the Lord used me. It's not I use my professions. It's truly the Lord used a donkey like me. About 10 years ago, I preached in the summer conference in Toronto. I know no one in that church. By no means, they invite me to preach. During those 3 days, two nights, summer conference at the last session, so interesting, after my preaching, I sat down, suddenly all the light turned off, and very far corner, there's a big cake, someone pushing in, and I think, wow, maybe someone have a birthday. But after the cake put on the front, the chairman come up, and he said, "Wow, this year is our speaker, Pastor Johnny Wong, 30 years of being a pastor. So we bought a cake to celebrate his ministry." Wow, I feel so honored, right? Well, probably maybe during the first session, I mentioned something like this. But you know, in a summer conference, usually in a remote area, they can find a cake. Not only a cake, during our eating the cake time, someone bring this up. And on behalf of the summer camp, they bought this like a lamb stand, right? It looks like a lamb stand. Maybe from some antique shop or secondhand shop at the small town. And the chairperson bring this up and said, "Hey, this is a horse, a stand, a light stand, a candle stand. This candle stand stands for the light be a light for the glory of God. Since Pastor Wong, you have been a pastor for 30 years, might as well we pray for you. You can run another 30 years for the glory of God. Wow. Once I heard, I'm serving 30 years. You asked me to run another 30 years. It's too much, right? But after receiving this small gift, I put it in the center of my living room. Why? It's unworthy for me to receive some gift like this. But it's a very meaningful token of reminder how God used a small life, a donkey like me, worth for Jesus. A young person is worth for Jesus to consider if God really called you. Or maybe God not calling you to be a pastor, but God still have His sovereign call all along your life, even your retirement life. Even when you are old, still the Lord can still use you. It all depends on whether you submit yourself, willing to be tamed along if God really used you. If you really experience God use your life, you know, you are not only a valuable player in your company, in your career, but you will become a valuable player in His kingdom's work. As I said, since 2020, during the pandemic, I resigned. I cannot take my words out, so I have to be a pastor. And I start to decide, probably maybe I will become a nomad. You know what is a nomad, right? Without a permanent job, without a permanent so-called career, but I still want to serve our Lord. Probably maybe nomad is not a big name, but nowadays you know what is a slasher, right? Doing this job, that job, but you don't have a permanent boss or job. Actually, a ministry or a minister is someone who would like to serve the Lord. Whether pay or not, it doesn't matter. So I decide to stay in Edmonton. I call it Wong's Relay. Both of my sons, they have their own family in Edmonton, so I stay in Edmonton. And I start to be an itinerary preacher. Yeah, it happens during the lockdown time, but it also happened during this year. I travel a lot. Whoever need a guest speaker, then I will serve there. And this is my old picture, 34 years, when we immigrated to Saskatoon. I have my 1 year, 1.5 year old son. And during the pandemic, I have another 2 grandsons. So my granddaughter is turning 7. This is my 40th anniversary, wedding anniversary picture. We just took this May, just 2 months ago. And you can see, 3 came to Canada. Now we have 9 Wongs. But if you have a good eyesight, you will see another one. Small baby, the one stood behind my wife. Her name is Claire. He pregnant during the last couple of months. And 10 days ago, the little baby daughter came. So we have 10, the perfect 10. So the Wongs Relay. Most important is not adding family members, but adding disciples, right? So thanks, Lord, both of my daughter-in-law and my sons, they are committed Christians. They start to learn how to serve our Lord. My younger son, he just told me for the past 13 years, he never stopped worship because he is a worship leader. And he started to become a deacon at the church. And for my older son, his name is Daniel. He even started to serve the church during his intern time during his professional training time for the past over 10 years. Why I share this? Because worth for Jesus It's not only for one person, but it can be for a whole family. Not only for one generation, it can be for the next gen or even next gen. So please pray for us so our Wong's relay can be really continue. And I thank you, the Lord, that last year, I flipped too fast. Wrong direction, right? Can I go back to the family picture? Someone help me. And during the pandemic times, is for the family, for some preaching. But last year, I received a call from Toronto. A Christian organization, the short name is COWI. It's an organization care about churches around the world, but this organization is care about the church in Canada, all the Chinese churches in Canada. And they asked me to be their colleagues. And after much prayer, and I decide, because I want to stay in Edmonton, so I better to take up the job, but without pay. Yeah, I don't need the salary. Then I can do volunteer work. So I became their volunteer, so-called executive secretary, to help out different churches to solve their issues and try to help a little bit of their gospel work or church issues. And another thing about my so-called golden age nomad will add another trunk. That is, after preaching in February from AGC, and your church have some need to get a mentor to help out the pastor, help out the leaders, hopefully with my aged or seasoned experience, I can give you some options, some observation and options to think about within the next couple of months. So please pray for me, because I don't know much about your church, but hopefully during the next couple of months, we can pray together, talk together, listen to different voices, different opinions about the past, about the present, and maybe some concerns in the future. So we can work along and see the Lord will do a better job for us in the next couple of months. So please pray for me. I will come and go sometime, some month, some week. Maybe I will drop by and share a little bit different Bible message, different perspective, and hopefully we can work together for AGC. Let's pray. Lord, we know you have your sovereign guidance upon our whole life, not only in my life, but I firmly believe you are the same God upon each of us. Lord, guide us, your Holy Spirit, speak to us so that the same Bible passage can speak differently in our different lives. And I hope that the Lord will use this church continuously in different language and different congregation for your glory. And you are the one worth for us to dedicate our different life stages for your glory. We all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.